Mills, the process of making pottery is that they take the dirt, the clay, and they mold it, and it takes time, and they have to cure it and everything. This is the same process that God does for us. We come from dirt. He molds us. He cures us. There is a process that he takes, and it takes time. While we're here on earth, we will never be perfect. We are imperfect people. We are born imperfect, and that's okay, because we are not going to be perfect until we are with our Lord and Savior. When we are in heaven, we will be perfect, and that's okay, because we know each and every one of us can live an imperfect life and still love God. Next slide. If we could please have Victoria and Rosanna come up.
And can the kids come up and sit in the front row of Miss Zaina up here? Hey, Dina. Can you hold that one? Kurt, did I give you that sheet of paper? Perfect, yes. Owen, can you hold that one for me? Just hold it, just like that. Yep, perfect. All right. Brothers and sisters, it is my joy to get to do a service of baptism for you again. Victoria and Rosanna came to me the same time that Brandon did, a while ago now, and we went through a profession of faith class, and we had to schedule around cheerleading and the end of the school year and everything, but we finally got it done, and so now we're here to be able to baptize you as believers and as professors of faith in our church. So, here are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. Baptism is a sign and seal of God's promises to his covenant people. In baptism, God promises by grace alone to forgive our sins, to adopt us into the body of Christ, the church, to send the Holy Spirit daily to renew and cleanse us, and to resurrect us to eternal life. This promise is made visible in the water of baptism. Water cleanses, purifies, refreshes, sustains. And brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is the living water. Through baptism, Christ calls us to new obedience, to love, and to trust God completely, to forsake the evil of the world, and to live a new and holy life. Yet when we fall into sin, we must not despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, for baptism is the sign and seal of God's eternal covenant of grace with us. That means, boys and girls, that when we baptize here, that means that these two ladies can know that God is with them. Because of today, for the rest of their lives, they can look back on this day and say, I know that God is with me because he met me there in my baptism. And it's not the water that makes it special, it's just water. It's not me that makes it special, it's God. And God is the one who meets us when we give our lives to Jesus, when we dedicate ourselves to follow Jesus, when we say that we're not going to follow anyone else but Jesus, God meets us. And that's what we're doing here today. Baptism is a sign that we're dying to ourselves and coming to life again in Jesus. Kurt?
I can say it was once again a joyful experience as an elder and members of council to witness the profession of faith of Victoria and Roseanne Harden. And so it is my privilege on behalf of the elders to present Victoria. Victoria and Rosanna for the sacrament of baptism.
Amen. Congratulations. This is for you. Now it's your turn. Beloved of God, you stand before us to receive the sacrament of baptism. I ask you, therefore, before God and Christ's church, to reject evil, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, and to confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce sin and the power of evil in your life and in the world?
I renounce them.
Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Will you be a faithful member of this congregation and through worship and service seek to advance God's purposes here and throughout the world?
I will, and I ask God.
Oh my goodness, you guys were so good at answering those questions. Like you knew what I was going to say or something. Brothers and sisters, please stand, for now it's your turn. Oh, you got to stay there, okay, Tony? Do you all promise to love, encourage, and support these sisters by teaching the gospel of God's love, by being an example of Christian faith and character, and by giving the strong support of God's family in fellowship and prayer? If so, respond by saying, we do, with God's help. All right. Now, I failed to communicate this to Zaina, so that's my bad, but we're going to do the Apostles' Creed. So if you know it, say it by heart, and if not, just listen, because this is what we believe together. Did you get it already, Denise? I don't think it's in there. No, you're good. Don't worry about it. No worries. If you know it, say it by heart. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated. We give you thanks, O holy and gracious God, for the gift of water. In the beginning you created. In the beginning of creation, your spirit moved over the waters. In the waters of the flood, you destroyed evil. You led the children of Israel through the sea into the freedom of the promised land. In the river Jordan, John baptized our Lord, and your spirit anointed him. By his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ, the living water, frees us from sin and death and opens the way to everlasting life. We thank you, O God, for the gift of baptism. In this water, you confirm to us that we are buried with Christ in his death and raised to share in his resurrection. And we also are being renewed by the Holy Spirit. Pour out on us your Holy Spirit so that those here baptized may be washed clean and receive new life. To you be all honor and glory, dominion and power, now and forever, through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. All right. Victoria has decided to go first. And again, we have the white robes that they used all the way back in the beginning of the New Testament church to signify the new life of baptism. Are you ready? All right. Hop on in. Oh, you're going to be facing this way, because I'm left-handed when it comes to baptizing people, apparently. Go ahead and stand right in the middle. All right. Oh, it'll get even more cold. Just you wait. Scoot this way just a little bit more. There you go. Victoria Harden, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Congratulations. Victoria, child of the covenant, In baptism, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Amen. All right. Rosanna, it's your turn. The carpet will dry. Just go. You're good. Climb on in. Yes. You're dying and coming back to life. Of course it's cold. There's a reason for this. Rosanna Harden, you good? Okay. I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You get the big towel. Rosanna, child of the covenant, in baptism you are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. Amen. Amen. You can go ahead and stand down there. These two will be standing at the doors at the end of the service, so make sure that you welcome them into the family. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and Head of the Church, these children of God are now received into the visible membership of the Holy Catholic Church, Catholic meaning universal, engaged to confess the faith of Christ and to be God's faithful servants until life's end. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you that you cleanse and renew these your children through your grace alone. Bless and strengthen them daily with the gift of your Holy Spirit. Unfold to them the riches of your love, deepening their faith, keeping them from the power of evil, and enabling them to live a holy and blameless life until your kingdom comes. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, please stand if you're able to welcome these two into the family. All right. You may go change your clothes now.
All right. Do I have 4 kids that would like to collect our change? All right. Mr. Teese has the buckets right there. You can go ahead and grab them. Okay. Oh, we might have to have partners. Hold on 1 second, okay? You don't want to do it. Okay. Before the kids take off and collect your pocket change, we need to make sure we do our blessing over them. All right, hold still, you guys. Charlie, gotta go over here, baby. Come here. And okay, so after they're done and doing the blessing and everything and collecting your change, they will go downstairs with Pastor Jake. See him over there? Okay. All right, raise your hand. May the Lord bless you and worship and grow together. All right, can I have Charlie? Charlie? Hey, gotta go this way. We need to have you guys. Okay, go this way. Go down there. All right. And you boys, can you go way on the other side? And then you guys go down here. And you, Evelyn, can you go down that way? Okay. Thank you. All right, and with our church, we are so blessed to be able to take prayer requests, and Sandy is going to do that right now before our offering.
And obviously, this week has been a week of prayer for us, and we're going to get into some of the reporting and that kind of thing, but prayer has been a huge, huge part of this week for us on the mission team. And even just the traveling and safe travels and getting there and back without breakdowns and all that kind of a thing, And if you are a prayer partner specifically for one of the people on the team this week, know that we needed it, know that we felt it, and know that we appreciate it so very much. But on that note, is there anything else that somebody has that you would like us to be lifting in prayer? Matt and then Renee. So they'll be moved in by this Friday? Okay, if you didn't hear that, the Rice, Sherman, the Herd, Toby, Tony, and Tabitha will hopefully be moving this Friday, which is huge and good for everybody. Renee, you have concerns. Renee works with one of the Timmers, and I know you guys had heard the announcement that we lost a nephew, and that it has far-reaching fingers. They're hoping to get the remains back this week, and the funeral services will be the following. Right now, the tentative plan is if all falls into place, that it will be on the 13th, will be the double funeral service, unless things change, but that's kind of the plan right now. And that's a long time to be in that grieving process. And some of you know that journey well. So, anybody else? Doug. Sorry, what was the name of the ministry?
Paradise Five.
Okay. Okay. We can do that. Lewis has been part of the youth group here for a while. His family is going to be heading to the Dominican, and they actually delayed it for the mission trip, right? Lewis went along with us this week, but they are leaving on Tuesday. And they will be down in the Dominican on a mission project. I don't know, that doesn't sound right, but they're going to be missionaries down in the Dominican, so he is going to be leaving us. And that is going to leave one very sad young lady, because him and Alyssa are boyfriend, girlfriend. But we'll be praying for their family. God has called them there, and I'm sure he's going to use them in mighty ways, even though the ripping away and the leaving is going to be tough, and for a lot of us to see you go for a while. Anybody else? All right, will you join me in prayer? Father God, it is an amazing thing that we even have the privilege to come into your very throne room. And yet you not only throw the doors open and throw out the welcome mat, but you beg us to come in and you call us your kids when we do. And it's to you, our Father, that we come with some things heavy on our heart. And Father God, I just pray that you'll be with all that feel the stinging pain of the loss in the Timmer family, losing Mike and Tracy, and the way that affects so many. And it just feels so wrong. They were so young, and it wasn't the time. It doesn't feel right at all. And the pain that it leaves behind.
And Father God, we talked about some of the tears and the things, the hurts that we feel and the pain that we feel. And you know all about that. But thank you for being the God who walks with us, no matter if we're in the midst of that awful, raw pain. We're in the mountaintops. You're with us through it all because you have promised to never leave us, to never forsake us. So Father God, those that are feeling that deep wound and that deep pain, we need you to be our comforter. We need you to be our friend. And thank you for being all that we need. And there's other loss that we're going to feel when Lewis and the family head out to the Dominican Republic, which feels so far away. Father God, I just pray that you will go before them. You've called them to this time, to this place, and to the people there. And you've got an amazing work for them ahead, and we know that. We just pray that you'll smooth their way. Thank you for the housing that they've already got in place and the other parts of the ministry that just needed to fall in place that have. Thank you for the time that he was able to spend with us this week. The relationships have just built, been built stronger, and I just thank you for that. But I thank you for being in the tomorrows that are going to be coming, in those hard, bumpy places when the goodbyes have to be said. Be there as well. Father God, thank you for the things that we pray for, things like new housing, and thank you for Tony and Tabitha having their new place. Thank you for setting that all up. And we know that, Father God, when we come to you and we pray, it changes things. And thank you for changing things and finding a place that wasn't there before. Thank you for being the God who loves us so much and has such big things that you dream for, some things we can't even begin to imagine ourselves, but you imagine for us. This morning, Father God, thank you for this picture of this baptism of these two young, amazing women. They're beginning their journey, and their faith journey is beginning from here. But, Father God, you have big plans to not only further them, but to further the kingdom through them. Thank you for the pictures that you've given. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that you've promised to be in us and working through us. Father God, we are nothing without you. Thank you for looking on humankind and finding us worthy at all. But it's to you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we pray. It's your name we glorify. Amen.
Do we have somebody doing offertory prayer? Dennis, thank you. And while we are collecting offering, we have a nice video that the youth group is going to share about their experience. So,
shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we praise you for the many blessings. We praise you, Father, for this offering. We thank you for these young people, Father, who are able to go out and learn the joys of helping others along with the righteousness of the Spirit. We just pray you continue to guide us, Father. Help us to reach out to those in need. And Father, we give praise for our pastor and the joys we spent with them and his family. We just pray you continue to guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If grace was a kingdom, I stopped at the gate, thinking I don't deserve to pass through after all the mistakes that I've made. Oh, but I heard a whisper as heaven bent down. Said, child, don't you know that the first will be last and the last get a crown? And now I'm just a beggar in the presence of a king. I wish I could bring so much more. But if it's true, you use broken things, then he tell me it's true that a
it's always the ones with the scars that you use. Oh, it's the rebels and the prodigals. It's the humble and the weak. All the misfit heroes you chose. Tell me there's hope for sinners like me. And now I'm just a beggar in the presence of a king. I wish I could bring so much more. But if it's true, you use broken things, then here I am, Lord, I'm all yours. Gates open wide. There's a seat at the table just waiting for you. So come on inside.
Right, so if we could have the mission team come up, please. We could use the perfectly imperfect up on the screen, please.
So we started out on Saturday. We left here about 8 o'clock and we traveled about 10 hours on Saturday, and we got to a church in Nebraska, and we slept there for the night. We headed out the next morning at about 7 and traveled another 9 hours to get to Denver, Colorado. We were part of an organization called Open Door Ministries, and they are mainly there. They have church services and some different things, but the Open Door Ministries was mainly there to minister to the homeless population that was there, which was an incredibly eye-opening thing for most of us to see the huge numbers of homeless right in the city of Denver, Colorado. We rubbed elbows with them a lot. We went into a lot of their spaces and places where they live and hang out, and we passed out some things, which you're going to hear about in just a minute. But this ministry that we were able to be part of for just a week was a huge blessing to us. They not only have helped house us and feed us and give us some direction, they were who we were with the week as we ministered. And we just want to give you a little picture of what our week looked like in the week that you all helped send us out to. So we're going to kind of give you day by day a little glimpse of what it was that we did throughout the week. And who's talking about Monday?
We started out by working with a lady named Jamie, who she actually kind of talked about orientation, disorientation, reorientation, homelessness. Following a 90s video, which is quite interesting, about cultures.
Then after we were done with that video, we were assigned a scavenger hunt, but we weren't allowed to have any maps, any navigation. It was just, here's a piece of paper, go walk around where we were staying, get to know our area, what we were doing, like all the culture around us. So we walked around, had to find out like how much it would cost to ride the bus for a month, and we had to go out and find 5 different languages. Just a whole bunch of things that we weren't able to use any resources. It was just go out and explore where we were staying. So after that, we went to a meeting for a triad, which means to reconcile you able-bodied and disabled. we met a guy named Randy and a guy named, or a girl named Violet. Randy had cerebral palsy, and he told us briefly about his testimony, and they explained what Triad was, and it was an organization through Open Door, not through Open Door Ministry, but involved with Open Door Ministry that was there for the homeless and to help the homeless believe and become Christian, go on with their faith. So we learned about Violet's story, who she had a learning disability and TAR syndrome, and like I said, Randy had cerebral palsy. So.
We played a couple games to feel like what it was to be disabled. One game we played was another person had to mouth words off, and you had to figure out what they were, and yeah, it was really tough for us. And then the second part to that game was sentences, and very few people got them right, and I got them all wrong. And then we ended up taking a bus trip to Aurora on public transportation, and that was an eye-opening experience for us, not me. And then before that, we ended up going to a center for refugees, where they could come from war-torn countries and just get the help they needed.
So all those games and the different simulations, you can imagine if you were in a brand new big city and you're homeless, when we were doing the scavenger hunt, there was like 82 different languages spoken in Denver, Colorado. And if you didn't know some of those languages, how would you begin to navigate? How would you find a place to stay? How would you find a place to go eat and all that kind of thing? We didn't understand all of what we were doing when we were in the midst of it, but later we were like, that would be very tough. So that's what some of those exercises were. Just if you were homeless in a brand new city, how would you begin to navigate and find what you needed? And that's what they kind of showed us. It can be tough. I thought we were done with Monday. I'm sorry. I'll let you.
So after that, went to this printing press called The Voice. So basically, it's like this newspaper company, except they have one working staff, and the rest are volunteers, most of them being homeless. And so that was really cool. They just sell newspapers. Like donate their money to people. And then went to the Mango House, got some Syrian food. So that was really good. And we took the bus back and then did devotions with me.
On Tuesday, we went and visited a really, really pretty cathedral, and it was very huge, and they had, like, lots of paintings on the windows and, like, different statues and stuff all throughout it, and it was really pretty. And then we also ate lunch on the Capitol lawn, and we got to go inside just to get the bathroom, but it was pretty nice. And then we went to... Like, when we were out on the lawn, we went and we got goodie bags ready. We got together homeless care packages, and then we walked around parts of Denver, like the parks that have lots of homeless people in them, and got to meet a lot of homeless people and hear their stories and how they became homeless or why they're homeless. And, yeah. And then we got to go souvenir shopping.
On Wednesday, we went and made lunch for the homeless. We made hot dogs and had a bunch of other food for them. And we went to a park and did sidewalk Sunday school with the kids and gathered them up and played games and talked. taught them the lesson and gave them candy.
That night, we had told the kids to take along the suits because there's lots of little lakes around Denver, Colorado, right? The lakes around there are not like our lakes, we found out. Most of them are full of goose poop, and it is slimy and disgusting, and you wouldn't want your dog to go in that water. So the kids are like, but you promised we would go swimming. Well, when we were in this park, and Sidewalk Sunday School was in the park, we basically had to go find kids that were playing to come play with us, and then we were going to tell them a little Bible story, which we did after we were done. While we were wandering around looking for kids to come to the Sidewalk Sunday School, we found a pool. So we took the kids to the pool that night, and then later on we went and did some souvenir shopping out in Denver.
Thursday morning, we went back to ODM. We cleaned up some of their safe houses, made the yard look nice, and their admin building for their safe houses for women in transition. And we took care of like a lot of their weeds and stuff and cleaned up their yards to make it their yards a little bit more livable. And then we met with Randy again, and he shared a lot more of his testimony and more about who he is and the struggles throughout his life. And he shared that he recently wrote a book about everything that he's been through and stuff like that. And it was a really great testimony. We got to just talk a little bit more with him. And then we went back to the church that we were staying at and played a Monopoly game that kind of simulated like different classes, like upper class, middle class, and lower class. We changed the rules a little bit so that one person got a little bit more money than others, and it was a little bit less fair to play. Well, I got a lot of money, so. So that's what we did during the day on Thursday. And then in the evening on Thursday, we went to another park. It was a little bit more nicer. The lake was But we did an anointing ceremony. Usually we do a foot washing ceremony. And this time we did an anointing ceremony. And it was really awesome to share with the kids about how blessed we were to be with them and share this week with them.
With the service project, they didn't tell us there were poisonous spiders until after we were done cleaning everything up. So that was a little sketchy. But Friday, we took off from the church early in the morning. Then we went to Red Rock Amphitheater. And it's in the mountains, so you hike a little bit, and it's this huge amphitheater, and they have a stage where you can play music and stuff. They had a museum where you could look at like a lot of the bands that have played there. It was super pretty and super cool. Then we just went home. But on Wednesday, let me talk a little bit more about Wednesday, I had the really great experience of talking and getting to know a homeless person named Monica. And, well, she was going down the line where we were feeding them, and she was a little shaky, and she looked like she was going to drop her food. So I was like, do you want me to help you carry that in? And she said, sure. So we're walking inside, and she puts her arm around me, and she goes, Mom, I really want to get help. And she just kept saying that to me. And it was sort of heartbreaking, but at the same time, good to know that I was helping her. She just kept asking me questions, calling me Mom, and like asking me for help. And I didn't cry then, but after I came back out and sat her down and stuff, I started crying, and it was really eye-opening to see that, like, those people live that life every single day, and I get to come back here and have food on my plate for all three meals and more. And, like, I live this wonderful life, and it's really great to know that I get to help them because of the life that I have. And yeah, it was, we came back with Renee. I came back with Renee later. We walked up to her and she looked up and saw me and she instantly started crying. And she said that she's very stressed out. She can't be on the streets anymore. She doesn't know what to do. So Renee and I prayed with her, talked with her for a bit, and she was very, very thankful for that, and I'm very, very thankful for that experience.
So on Tuesday, when we went and we were serving care packages to the homeless, it was there's so many people that we met and so many people that we all connected with. It's hard to just focus on one, and it's hard to, you know, say one that I talked to more and, you know, had more of a connection with. But I met this guy named Jason, and he was sitting in the park on the ground with three of his buddies. And we started talking, and he was from California, upstate California, and he was a struggling alcoholic. He had prayed with us, and we had we talked for a good 15-20 minutes, it felt like. But he was telling me about how he had gone to school, he went through college, he was really smart, his sister ran a doctor's office or something, I think, and he was this really smart person and had so much potential in life, but you know, he was just struggling, and he kept saying, you know, he wants to get better, but it's hard, and he, you know, when you're stuck in that position, it's hard to go anywhere because you don't have the resources you need to get back up on your feet. But we ended up starting to talk about his, we asked him if there's anything we could pray about, anything we could ask God to help him with, and he said that, the thing he wanted more than anything was to see his nieces and nephews again and see his family. So it'd be great if you guys could keep Jason in the prayers. And
a lot of this trip was about breaking the homeless stereotype, because a lot of people view homeless as lazy people who don't want to do anything. Like, they're lazy, so that's why they're on the streets. I would say most of the people we talked to on the streets were out there because of medical things that they couldn't pay for and nobody could help them. So I think that's definitely one of the biggest takeaways of this trip is, they're people just the same as us, and they're not all the same. They're out there for the reasons they're out there, but God put them there the same way he put us here.
And being in some place that has majority of any street you walk down, you will see more than 5 homeless people sitting on the side of the road or pushing a cart. It's definitely a change in perspective, because here we don't have things like that. You'll see maybe 1 or 2, and you immediately start feeling either guilty that you're not helping them, or you start thinking, well, do they need my help? Are they just panhandlers? But we were told by homeless people that the biggest thing we can do is just talk to them. All they want is to be heard. And that was definitely different to hear, because we were not used to that around here. It was a completely different scene being surrounded by that many homeless people. And knowing that majority of homeless people are homeless due to disabilities or medical reasons and not for the reasons that we think.
Another organization that kind of worked with Open Door Ministries, they actually created this kind of a job facility with printing t-shirts. So people that were kind of coming out of jail or homeless itself, they would actually give jobs there, getting working there for about 6 months to get the background going, so that way they could actually use that as reference to their job themselves.
And the newspaper place that we went to, called the Denver Voice, actually creates jobs for the homeless, too. They sell newspapers for $2 a newspaper, but it only costs 50 cents for them to make the newspaper, so that's $1.50 profit for those who volunteer there and work there, who need money to get back on their feet. And it was started by somebody who was homeless, and it's a really cool place, and it's like a legit paper company, and they talk about everything that's on the streets of Denver, nothing like big going on outside of the world. They talk about what's happening right here, right now.
More on The Voice. The Voice isn't just a thing in Denver. The Voice is a homeless newspaper that I know it's in a lot of big cities in the United States, and I'm pretty sure they said it was up in Canada. I can't say where. Everywhere with that, but it was a really cool thing. Like, I was last night looking at the newspaper, reading some of the stories, and it's just the stories of the homeless, the stories of the people that it would be familiar faces. It's a really cool organization, and it gives homeless jobs, and it's helping people get on their feet and help people.
So this is going to involve, this next little piece is going to involve you two. This is going to be a little interactive and a little fun. I'm going to say a phrase or part of a song, and if you guys know the end part of it, say it with me, all right? I am the church, you. Very good. This little light of mine, I'm going to. All right, one more. Father Abraham. Very good. All right. If you know the next part of this saying, finish it. What's a girl got to do?
Get blessed around here.
Cow on my
side.
Hey.
These are some funny things that we've had lots of fun with in the van. Lots of inside jokes and things that obviously these guys know. It wasn't all just work, obviously. It wasn't just getting immersed into the homeless population in Denver, Colorado. And it wasn't just some of the things that we heard about with talking with people. It's an amazing thing, though, to see some high school kids kneeling with their hands on a homeless woman, praying over her with tears falling down their face. Can you imagine what that was like for us as leaders to see? There were so many more experiences like that with this particular group that were just amazing teaching moments to me and to my heart. But we also had the funny things. Chad's single, and we would try to set him up with single girls all over. You saw some of the pictures, and we would say it was his birthday. Will you guys take pictures? And they did. So we had a ton of mountaintop moments, a ton of fun, and a ton of God just showing up and showing off who he was on this trip. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of you supporting us, sending us, and praying for us while we were gone. Thank you.
All right, and some of you are probably curious. I felt like I was being called to stay home from this mission trip, which is very unusual because I'm always right there up in the front line with all of these guys. But God was definitely calling me to stay home for a reason. We've had a lot going on in our little family and everything, but it wasn't really that eye-opening to me until this past week. Renee could not find anybody to watch Charlie for the whole week. We thought we had it all figured out, and it was just not going to work. So I, being the coolest Nana I know, decided to take Charlie for that whole week. What a blessing, I have to say, because just within the first couple of days of having Charlie, she ended up having a really bad eye infection. So swollen, face swollen, bleeding from the eye, had to take her into the doctor. She's on two different antibiotics. it was just terrible for this poor little girl. And I sat there thinking, this is why I had to stay home. This little girl needed me. Because no matter who else had her, wouldn't have been able to take care of her as well as a nana does. But at the same time, she needed one of us that loves her so deeply to take care of her. And that's why I was called to stay home, besides many other reasons. She was the reason, for sure. But I am jealous that they got to go and experience all this wonderful stuff. And maybe sometime we can go back. Who knows? We're already looking forward to the next mission trip and can't wait to experience more stuff that God already has planned for us. one of the amazing things about a mission trip is the lessons that we endure, not only as we're working there, but every evening the leaders or a leader will do a lesson with the youth and show them what really God has planned for them. And their lesson this week was perfectly imperfect. And so we thought we would have some of the youth kind of give you a little bit of what that lesson was all about. Josh?
Abraham taught us to be patient. Be patient. Don't be in such a hurry. So in Genesis 17, verses 1 through the 2, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. In Genesis 17:17, Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Genesis 17:19. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I'll establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. The bottom line here is, waiting on God's timing is not easy, but will give us the best results. More than 50 years ago, researchers at Stanford University conducted a study on preschoolers commonly known as the marshmallow test. They were taken into a room and given a marshmallow, and told that if they could wait 15 minutes before eating it, they'd get a second marshmallow. If they ate a marshmallow, they would not get the second one. Then they left the child alone in the room with the marshmallow in a hidden camera and waited. Only about one-third were willing to wait. In the following years, they checked up on the kids as they became adults and progressed in life. Those that could wait were able to delay gratification. They were able to be much more successful in life. There were three types of kids in the study. Those who waited patiently delayed gratification. Those who ate their marshmallow either immediately or after some time. And those who tried to get as close to eating it as possible without really taking an actual bite. Licked it, nibbled on it, hollowed it out, and hoped no one noticed. In the studies, kids who waited had higher SAT scores, got more education, and were less likely to be overweight. From Abraham, we learned the difficult lesson about being impatient. We had to learn that God's timing was not the best timing, and that trying to speed up the clock doesn't work out for the good in most cases. Most of the people sitting in the room are not even close to 25 years old. Imagine having to wait until you turned 100 to receive a gift that was promised to you at the age of 15. That concept is mind-blowing. In a world of people that will wait outside of a phone store on the day of its release in order to have the newest invest before anyone else, waiting for a promise seems like a daunting task, but waiting on God has its benefits. God tests and strengthens our faith by having us wait on His perfect will to be fulfilled. He does not want us to settle for the good enough or the okay things in life. He wants us to have the best. As I say, you can't rush perfection.
Psalm 51:10-12. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Our imperfections do not have to keep us from doing the will of God in our lives. David was quickly confronted with the sins he had committed. In his confession of guilt, David wrote a cry of repentance. One of the greatest gifts of God is the gift of second chance. Even when we fail miserably, God is willing to give us another opportunity to try again. When we truly repent our downfalls and turn to God, we have a chance to continue doing the will of God. This was true for David. Following his confession and repentance, God continued to use and bless his life and the Israelites through his leadership. What about our lives? We have all been there. We have fallen away from what God has called us to do. Whether that be the sin of our lives or other imperfections that pull us away from God, away from following God's leadership, we can see that from the story of David, as long as we are here on earth, we have a chance to get back in the game and continue to serve God. If David can be a liar, a cheater, and a murderer, and still be used by God to do his work, we can overcome the things in our lives that are holding us back.
Judges 6:17-18. Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." God's power to use us to do his will is greater than any doubts we have in ourselves or our ability to be used by God. How many of us are like Gideon? We look at ourselves as the least of the least. Gideon said that he was the weakest man from the weakest family in the weakest tribe. That is not exactly the resume we would think of coming from one of the greatest judges in the Old Testament. Gideon didn't think much of himself. In fact, when we first met him, he was hiding from everyone, was trying to get enough food to provide for his family. A lot of us can be like that too, going through life just trying to get by. We try not to draw attention to ourselves because we have doubts about what we have to offer in the grand scheme of things. But then God reaches into our lives and says, "Hey, I have something awesome that I want you to do." Most of us would respond with, "Who, me?" And answer thinking that God had the wrong address or gotten us confused with someone else. But God knows what he is doing. He has called you for a purpose, and he wants you to do great work. We see throughout the Bible that God does not call the ideal person ideal in the world life to do a task. He is not looking for the most popular, the best dressed, the best looking, or the smartest person to grab. He is looking to work through people that do not appear to be perfect. We all have flaws and doubts about ourselves. Do I need to lose weight? Does my hair look good? Do people like me? These are all questions that we have asked ourselves at one point or another in our lifetime. We tell ourselves that we are not good enough, that we need to change for people to like us, even for God to use us.
Moses was a bad speaker and had a bad temper. Exodus 2, verses 11 to 12. One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Exodus 4:10-11. Moses said to the Lord, "O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past, nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say." Our character flaws do not disqualify us from doing God's will. They uniquely qualify us for the task God has placed on our lives. We all have our shortcomings. Maybe it's anger management. Maybe it's the fact that we are not good speakers. Whatever it may be, we all have things in our lives that we feel keep us from being qualified and being used by God. The good news is, God is not surprised by these shortcomings. He knows all about them. In fact, he built them into you for who you are for a reason. And he will use those things in order to do his work. The shortcomings of Moses made him a good leader, the leader that the Israelites needed in order to escape from slavery and wander through the desert.
Your shortcomings make you uniquely qualified for the task that God has set out for you. The question is, do you trust Him enough to use you in the way that fits His will?
Abraham, David, Gideon, and Moses are heroes of the faith. Shared the same struggles that we do today. We learned that we need to be patient and don't be in such a hurry. Waiting on God's timing is not easy, but will give us the best results. Our imperfections do not have to keep us from doing the will of God in our lives. God's power to use us to do His will is greater than any doubts we have in ourselves or our ability to be used by God. Our character flaws do not disqualify us from doing God's will. They uniquely qualify us for the task God has placed on our lives. Just like the mountains that these guys had seen in Colorado, they all have their imperfections, cracks, and jagged edges, but God created them beautifully and with such power. How cool is it that the same God that created those mountains looked at you guys and thought the world needed one of you too? God has such a strong feeling for all of us that He is telling you that you are perfectly imperfect. Basically saying that He accepts your flaws. He loves you so much that He sees past the insecurities. A way of saying that you are perfect and worthy to Him. Some say we are not supposed to feel imperfect because we are Christians. But we tell them that we know we are imperfect and that's why we need God. We are to act more like Jesus, and even Jesus felt compassion. He was angry, indignant, and consumed with zeal. He was troubled, greatly distressed, very sorrowful. Depressed, deeply moved, and grieved. He sighed, he wept, and he sobbed, he groaned. He was in agony. He was surprised and amazed. He rejoiced very greatly and was full of joy. He greatly desired and he loved. We are weak, but our God is strong. We don't have all, but we have Him. Though we can be tired, we know He is not tired of loving us. And that's enough inspiration for us to face each day. Because we are just imperfect people, but loved by an imperfect God. And imperfect spells, I'm perfect. Now I would like to do what we do best at the end of each youth group, and this might be a struggle for some of us, so we're going to do the best that we can, but we would like to close with prayer, and we do this as a circle. So if everybody could please go to the outside of the pews and hold hands. Might have to come together throughout the pew there somewhere. Or a smaller circle. Do the best that we can. That's okay. It's perfectly fine. Okay. I will pass the mic if anybody would like to say a prayer. And if you don't, that's okay. You don't have to say a prayer. Just pass it. It's fine. We usually squeeze each other's hands when we are passing the prayer. So I will go ahead and start. Father, thank you for this wonderful experience for the youth. You had already planned everything, every little detail, years ago. You knew exactly what every single one of them were going to experience, what they were going to take away from this. You knew the right people to put in front of them. You knew that there was going to be ups and downs. You already knew how much they needed you, and everybody needed them. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for wrapping your arm around every single one of them, keeping them safe, and bringing them home to us. Thank you for the lessons that they have learned. Thank you for the wonderful experience.
Lord, we thank you so much for allowing us to go to and from safely, keeping us safe while we're in Denver, and just for all the knowledge and all the emotions we can roll out with this whole experience.
Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to spend the whole week with these wonderful people and being able to be your hands and feet, Lord. I pray that everything that we've learned and everything that's touched our hearts this past week, we are able to use in our day-to-day lives and we brought home with us, and we continue to use as we move on from Colorado and we be here in our home and we are able to minister here the way you intend us to.
Father, again, thank you for this imperfectly perfect family. Not only the trip that went to the mission trip to Denver, but every mission trip that's happened before and all the ones you have planned after today. Thank you for this family that's gathered here of believers in this sanctuary to give thanks for your mission trip. And thank you for helping each of us realize what part of this family we are. We ask you to keep blessing us in Jesus' name, that we could continue to build heaven here on earth one day at a time, right now.
Lord, we thank you for making us part of your church family. Thank you for including us and giving us your spirit.
Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for the blessing that you have given us today. And everything, dear Father, that being said here today, we ask that you go with us today and that we can continue blessing your holy name.
Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity for young people to share. And we pray, dear Lord, that you'll bless each one of them, but help them to take what they have learned into their life and share it with others.
Lord, thank you for bringing the youth group back from California safely, and for all the experiences they had in Colorado and all the lessons learned. Amen.
Thank you, Father, for our family and friends, for giving power and fight for each other. Thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, you do not promise the sky to be blue, Father. You do provide us with hope from above, light of the darkness, and undying love. Thank you. Lord, by your name.
thank you for giving each of us, not just the youth, but all, every one of us, the opportunities that we have from time to time to be the earthly angels to people who may be at some of the lowest points in their life, whether it's a friend, a family member, somebody we are working with, or a homeless stranger that we meet on the street. Help us to remember that this is what we're here for, to be your light in this world.
Jesus, we thank you this morning for this great group of youth and the time that they took to bring your name to people far away from here. And we especially want to thank you for the leaders that you provided to lead this group of young people and the time that they took to do so.
Dear Lord, I praise you for sending me and everybody else on this trip, Lord. I praise you for not only growing, but also rebuilding relationships within our youth group and within our little family that we have, Lord. I pray that we can all continue to stay close and we all continue to grow within your faith over the summer and come back refreshed in September when we start youth group back up again.
Father God, I just again pray your hand of blessing on Lewis and his family as they're going to be leaving for the Dominican. I also pray for Rosanna and Victoria. They're going to be leaving as soon to be going to live with their dad in a different state. But Father God, I know that you're also going to go before them because you've already promised that. You've called us, whether you call us to go other places like Indiana and Dominican or Colorado, or you call us to stay where we are. It's been said, Father God, you can use us because of your Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. So use us no matter where it is that you call us.
God, you are amazing. We can't even fathom how you hold all of us together. We pray that you will continue to guide us and be with us. I pray that you will lay your healing hand on the top of the head and the soles of the feet that need you. Heavenly Father, we ask you for many blessings, but we are thankful for all that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.